morning and welcome to El Shaddai Ministries in Tacoma, Washington. Welcome to everybody here in the congregation and a special welcome also to our internet community. We know you're out there and we hear from you and we appreciate you. So today the Torah portion is Vayetchanan and it's a beginning of Moses explaining the Torah to the new generation just before they enter the land. And also, today is a special Sabbath, and it's called the Sabbath of Comfort. So, a little bit of information on why that is. So as you know, earlier this week was Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av. That's the worst day in the Jewish year. And Pastor talked about that last week. 6 days later is Tu B'Av, and that's this Monday, so it starts Sunday night. And that's the happiest day of the Jewish year. So, does anybody know why Tu B'Av is the happiest day of the year? Okay, I'll tell you. All right, so, on Tisha B'Av, in Jewish tradition, on Tisha B'Av, many people would die because that's the anniversary of refusing to go into the land. So every year on Tisha B'Av, they would sleep in graves and expecting God's judgment. And many would die. You know, it was about 15,000 men a year that died. There's a lot of people in the wilderness. So on Tisha B'Av, apparently many people would die that night. Well, on the last Tisha B'Av before entering the land, they were expecting many people to die again. Nobody died. So they figured, you know, they've start the month by citing the new moon. So, okay, we counted the new moon wrong. This isn't the ninth of Av. So they slept in their graves the next night and nobody died. And they did that again the next night and the next night until the full moon. And the full moon is the 15th of the month, which is Tu B'Av. And at that point, then, they realized that they had passed that judgment, that Tisha B'Av was passed. The judgment didn't come, and God was going to be with them as they went into the land. So, Tu B'Av, ever since then, has been, it's sometimes called the Jewish Valentine's Day. There's rejoicing associated with it, and that's starting this Sunday night, tomorrow night. Now, in between the two is today, which is the Sabbath of Comfort. And that's based on the Haftorah reading for today, which is Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 1, which says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord," says God, your God. And so this is a email, you know, Israel 365 sends out these daily emails, and this was from either yesterday or the day before because of this special Sabbath. Nice thing about it is even if you don't know how to pronounce Hebrew, it shows you right there how to pronounce it. So I was thinking about this, and I thought, I know why I'm attracted to the Hebrew roots thing and Israel. And I just talked with somebody else, and he told me what attracted him. For me, it was a friend I had in college. For him, it was a trip he made to Israel back in 73. And I bet for many of you, there's something that attracts you to Israel, to the Jewish people. It's partly why you're in the Hebrew roots movement. And so today, as you think about what that is, what that connection is that you have to Israel, is it because Yeshua was Jewish and you figured that out? Or what is, you know, what is that attraction? And so today, this is a command from God. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Goes right along with Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper who pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So those are two commands. So let's open in prayer now. Let's go ahead and stand. And let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's pray for the comfort of Israel, who needs comfort right now during this time of ongoing war. Father in heaven, we do pray that you would keep a hedge of protection around your people, Israel, in their land, especially Jerusalem. We pray that you would keep your iron dome over the country, that protect it from the missiles, your spiritual protection stories we've heard and the things that have been happening. We pray that the enemy would not have any more power over Israel, but from this point that power would recede and that Israel would be able to turn to you and trust you and be safe in the land. We pray, God, that your people also that are Israel and that know Torah would also come to know Yeshua, the fulfillment of prophecies from Moses to Malachi, the living Torah. And we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchut.
Together, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Praise be the name of his glorious sovereignty forever and ever. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. And you shall teach them thoroughly to your children. And you shall speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for a reminder between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. When the word entered the world, freedom entered it.
The whole Torah exists only to establish peace.
Its highest teaching is love and kindness.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and what is hateful to you, do not do to any person.
And that is the whole Torah. Go and learn it. Honoring one another, doing acts of kindness, and making peace, these are our highest duties.
But the study of the Torah is equal to them all, because it leads to them all.
So let us learn in order to teach.
Let us learn in order to do.
It is a tree of life to those who hold fast, and all who cling to it find happiness. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace.
Help us to return to you, O Lord,
then truly shall we return. Renew our days as in the past, the days of our first love. Amen. Let's have the kids come up. We want to put the tallit over them and pray for them. And we'll dismiss them to their classes. All right. Let's extend our hands and just pray over them. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we just thank you so much for these kids. We thank you so much for the teachers that want to share your Torah with them and to put it into their hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would anoint the teachers, that as they bring forth your word, it would be as a seed planted in all their hearts, that their hearts would be good ground. Father, that they would come into a relationship with you at an early age. We just thank you for them in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today's Torah portion is Vayet Kanan. And ask for grace, or this is where Moses is pleading with God that he might be able to see the land. We're going to be talking about that. But one of the things, as was shared earlier by Peter, last Shabbat was the Shabbat Chazon, or the Sabbath of Vision. This comes from Isaiah chapter 1 concerning the destruction of the temple that Isaiah was seeing in advance that was going to happen on the 9th of Av this last Tuesday. And as he said, this weekend is the Sabbath of comfort, coming from the Haftorah portion, where God is now asking the nations to comfort Jerusalem. This comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 and 2. It says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. And then it says, even cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, Her iniquity is pardoned. She's received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. But it's time to take a break. So, what let's do, let's stand. So let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. I just pray each and every person here and those that are live streaming would realize that we are to be an iron dome. And when people spewed out words against Israel, not only that, against our neighbors, against our friends, we need to be the kind of people that don't just let it fly by, but we would shoot words back. We would not be afraid to answer those words with your word and to bring the correct word into the situation and shoot down those bitter words. Father, I thank you for all those that are live streaming that help us send $50,000 for bomb shelters in Israel. Father, I just ask right now that we would be able to take your Torah to all the nations because it's your word that will shoot down all the bitter words. We thank you that you have given us the ability to take your Torah to the nations. And I pray, Lord, that the finances that we do bring, Father, would bring you glory, would bring you honor. We know that you bless the finances as we bring them, but more importantly, we want the finances that we bring to bless you, to honor you, and to allow us to continue to take your Torah to the nations. So, Father, we just thank you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Together, blessed are you, Lord our God, Creator and King of the universe. You have blessed us with your Torah of truth. You have blessed us with the whole counsel of your living word by the power of your Holy Spirit through the completed work of Messiah Yeshua. You alone have planted among us life eternal. Blessed are you, Lord our God. Amen.
All right, welcome. We're back after our break here. Come on in and have a seat. Welcome, everybody. Now, Pastor comes back. We're going to be welcoming the visitors. Here's Pastor.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today. Okay, we always like to introduce or find out the people here for the very first time. So if you're here for the very first time, would you just raise your hand so we can say hello? All right, let's give them a big hand. I see hands popping up all around. Or how about those that maybe have been here more than once, but you're visiting today? All right, let's give all of them a big hand as well. Now, if those that are visiting here for the first time, get your hands back up again so the ushers can find you. We have a present to give you. I'd like to find out where people are from. Where are you from?
Idaho Falls.
Idaho Falls. And how about over here? Where are you from? Maple Valley. Okay. DuPont? All right. Pardon? Minnesota. A long way. And how about you? What? Germany. A long way. Lacey, right here from Lacey. Okay. I'll mention them in just a minute. Okay, yes. Graham, all right. Hi, Ryan. Yes. Yes. OMAC. Wow, that's way up there. Thank you for coming all the way from OMAC. Yes. Edgewood, Milton area. Fantastic. Yes. Spanaway. Excuse me. All right. We'll look over here for a moment. Yes. Frankfurt, Germany. All right. Yes. Seattle. I see a hand. We're over here in the corner. Make sure they get... Yes. Gig Harbor. All right. I know there's some other visitors here. Let me get a mic. I'm going to have them come up and say hi. There's a few more. Eliante, Ray and Katie Eliante from California, and this is their 30th wedding anniversary. Woohoo! They went with us on a trip to Israel with their whole family, and say hi to them.
Well, hello, everybody. It's just wonderful to be here. We've been following El Shaddai Ministries since, I think, 08, and this is our family. This is our church, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, and then we have some guests that moved up here all the way from Fort Worth. Eddie and Adrian, come on up. Let's say hi to them. I want you to get to know them because they just moved up here. So tell them a little bit about yourself and why you moved up here to this area.
We moved here in hope that we could be accepted into this congregation because we love this church and we love all of y'all. And praise Yahweh.
I'm being the submissive wife and followed
him up here.
Followed him up here.
We just love all of y'all. Thank you so much.
Well, tell them how the Lord blessed you.
Well, we got here. We wanted to make it for the Torah study on Monday, but we were late. So we spent the night in the parking lot out here. And Tuesday morning, I made a phone call to a fence company, and the very first one gave me a job right off the bat. So I'm already to work.
Thank you so much, Eddie and Adrian. I think it's amazing. Here they moved all the way from Fort Worth just to be a part of this congregation. And the first day it happens, he makes a phone call. And the first phone call, he gets a job. Now, is that Hashem? Is that a God or what? Well, how many of you are ready to praise the Lord? Amen. Let's stand. And we want to hear every song. We want to hear them all. Don't cut any out. We have two of the best shofar blowers in the world. We really do. And I can hardly wait. And I tell you what, how many of you believe the Lord is speaking to us even today on this Shabbat? Let's open our ears. Just like on the first Shavuot, when they were all around the mountain and they heard voices of thunder. The Lord was speaking through the shofar, and it rocked that whole mountain. As these two blow this shofar, let's see if we can't listen to what the Lord is speaking to us today. And may He shatter our hard hearts and plant His good seed of His word into that. Amen? Father, we just thank You so much for everything You're doing in our lives. We just come to You now on this Shabbat, and we turn to You. We're Your kids, and we just want to sit at Your feet. And we just want to begin to worship You and to praise You and just to bless Your holy name in Yeshua's name. And everybody said, Amen. We would separate ourselves from the world, and we would do it as fast as we can, for time is short. There's no time to play around. Father, I pray You would just move within each one of our hearts, just to rip them out of this world, that we would enter into Your presence Father, that we would exalt you and give you all the glory and honor that you deserve. As your children, we have needs, O God. And on this Shabbat, we come before you. There are those who have physical health needs. Father, we just lift our hands before you. And all those that are live streaming, just raise your hands right now. The Spirit of God covers the earth. He knows our needs. So, Father, for those that have physical sicknesses, for those that are in the hospital that may even be live streaming, Father, we just reach out our hands toward you, toward them. May your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, just move throughout this earth mightily, begin to touch those people with physical needs. Your name is exalted above every name, even the name of cancer. Father, we just ask right now that you would begin to touch your people's lives, heal them physically. Father, for those that have financial needs, we pray you would open up the windows of heaven and meet those financial needs. There are those that need homes or need cars or need jobs. Father, we just pray right now that you would meet those financial needs of your people. For those whose hearts are far from you right now, Father, spiritually, we pray that you would draw them with your cords of love, that you would just show them how much you love them. They only knew they would run to you instead of from you. For those that are here that don't know you, Yeshua is their Messiah. We lift them up to you right now. Father, pray you would touch their hearts, that they would confess you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. They would come into a relationship with you, the Almighty Creator. Father, for the Jewish people right now, we just want to lift them up to you. We just pray a hedge of protection around them. Give their military leaders, political leaders, wisdom on how to handle this situation. Father, I just pray right now that you would raise up many arrows against the media bias that's out there. Father, we just pray right now that there will be many people that will be calling their senators, their congressmen, writing editorials to fight the media barrage against you and against your people. Father, we know that your word does not return void. Father, I pray you would put a word in the hearts of people to write your, to speak only your words. Protect your people. And we just ask this in Yeshua's name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. That was fantastic. Well, let's take a quick look at something. This is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 and 4. As you can see, I don't think we're going to get everything done, but we're going to make a... Fortunately, I talk fast. There's good reasons for that. But let's look at the Haftor portion in Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4. Listen to this. You might be familiar with it. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be exalted, every mountain and hill will be made low, all the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Now, many of you are familiar from the Brit Hadashah in Yochanan, or John 1, verse 23. It says, he said, this is speaking of Yochanan the Immerser, or John the Baptizer. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, that makes straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So here we have John, or Yochanan, quoting this verse that is the Haftorah portion for this very weekend. And look at what it says in verse 5. This is incredible. He goes on to say, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You know what? In biblical Hebrew, there's no word it. What this could be translated as, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh shall see him. Now look at verse 5. And this is from the JPS, the Jewish Publication Society. It says, the presence of the Lord shall appear, and all flesh as one shall behold. For the Lord himself has spoken. Well, look at John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. This goes right back to Isaiah 40, where the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh shall see him. And it says, The glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And look at John 1:29, goes on to say, the next day he saw Yeshua coming to him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, what's fascinating is, first I want to set you up with this verse in 1 Peter 1, verse 23 through 25. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And then it describes us humans. It says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures how long? And then it says, and this is in 1 Peter, he says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you, or is always fulfilled. Well, what is this gospel? You know, it goes back to Isaiah 40. It's the next few verses. Look at Isaiah 40 again in verse 6 through 9. Remember, he said, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. Well, the question is, what are you supposed to cry? Well, let's look at what it says. The voice said, cry. And he said, well, what shall I cry? And he said, all flesh is as grass. This is where Peter got this from. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that brings the gospel. That brings the good news. That brings good tidings. And this is in Isaiah for this weekend. It says, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that brings good tidings. Lift up your voice and with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. And it was at this time, Yochanan the Immerser stands up and says, behold the Lamb of God. Look at verse 10 and 11 of Isaiah 40. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand. His arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. His work is before him. He'll feed the flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and he'll gently lead those that are with young. Many of you are familiar with that verse. May not have realized it comes from the Haftorah portion this weekend. Look at verse 21 and 22. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the very beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the sphere or the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants of it are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. Look at verse 25 through 27. God says, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who has created all these things that brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one fails. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, that my way is hid from the Lord? And my judgment is passed over from my God. Can we hide from God? I mean, think about it. But again, look at Psalms 89:18. It says, for the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Who is Israel's King? The Holy One of Israel is our King. I think that's fascinating when you look at Mark 1:24. Listen to what the demons even acknowledge. They said, leave us alone. What have we to do with you, you Yeshua of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Amen. Now let's take a look at our Torah portion for a minute. In Deuteronomy 3, 23 through 26. And I besought the Lord at that time. It's that word besought or pleaded. And Moses says, O Lord God, you that have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand, for what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do according to your works and according to your might? And I think that's fascinating. I mean, I think Moses is just like all of us humans, you know. Hey, God, you're great. Would you do a favor for me? Look what he says. I pray you, please let me go over and see the good land that's beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me for your sake, and he would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice you. Speak no more to me of this matter. Yikes. You know, one of the reasons why is I think because within a few hours, Moses was going to see it in the spirit anyway. You know, Devarim or Deuteronomy is much like the book of Revelation to the Brit Hadashah. The book of Deuteronomy is to the Torah. Look at Revelation 22, 18 and 19. It says, for I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man will add to these things, God's going to add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man will takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2, it says this, now Israel, listen to the statutes and to the ordinances which I teach you to do them, that you may what? Wow, did you know the statutes and ordinances of the Torah can cause you to live? So many people think, oh, they're killing me. It says that you can go in and possess the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, gives you. Now look at this. In Deuteronomy 4, it says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So in Deuteronomy 4, it says, don't you be adding to my word. Don't you be taking away from my word. And we find in Revelation, that's what it says. Don't you be adding to my word and don't be taking away from my word. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4, 3. It says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that follow Baal Peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. The Lord does not like those things. But look at Genesis 2, 4 for a minute. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. We understand marriage about leaving and cleaving, and here husband and wife were to cleave to each other. And look at Deuteronomy 4, 4. It says, you that did cleave to the Lord, your God, or what? You're alive. Every one of you this day. This shows the importance of cleaving to God. Now the question is this. How can this word apply to the relationship of a tiny, finite human being with a boundless, eternal God? How do we as little, finite humans cleave to this God that the entire universe is in the palm of his hand? This alive is being alive to the full. What does cleave mean? It means to join together, to be one. Well, the Torah portion focuses on an important Jewish concept, cleaving to God. It is only by cleaving to God, as this verse says, that we really then live life to the full. So how can we cleave to God? How can this word apply to the relationship of us? Well, there's three ways that we can cleave to God. The first one is through studying Torah, his words. God told us about himself. He reveals himself within the Torah. And as we study the Torah, we begin to cleave to God. It's like reading a love letter sent to you from someone you love. Someone writes you a love letter and you read it about 10 times. You just cherish every single word. Well, that's how we're to view the Torah, God's word. It's not just to be some, oh man, I got to go study God's word today. Man, if you got a letter from someone you hadn't seen for years, you're going to pour over every letter. You're going to take your time. Everything else is out. And that's how God wants us to see his word. Do we see it as his love letter to us? The other way we can cleave to God is through prayer. The simple meaning of prayer is we're speaking to God and we're listening to him from the depths of our heart. You know, prayer can be very intimate, very private, drawing us closer to God, but it also can be together as a group. Recently, someone here had read that God created humans because he loved stories. God is all about telling us stories. His creation of the world and all the stories the people from history past had done. The deepest depths of closeness to God is when you begin to tell God your story. Allowing God and yourself to tell each other stories. Abraham was a friend of God, and when people tell each other stories, they become friends. And I think sometimes, you know, God loves to tell stories. And I think he wants us to tell him our story. That's how we become close. Prayer, communicating, is more than us doing all the talking. We need to listen also and read his word. The other way is by doing. It's by doing the commandments, the mitzvot. You know, in that third level of connection, which in some ways is really the most powerful, is that of the mitzvot. Do you know the word mitzvah is usually translated as command? Okay, the mitzvot are the commandments. But do you know it also means connection? Relating to an Aramaic word, savta, which means connection. Carrying out a mitzvah means that we are connected and bonded with God. When he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, okay, he's talking about taking all the commandments. It's like a bicycle built for two. He does all the work and we just go along for the ride. But we've got to be connected to him. Why is this? Because the mitzvah or the mitzvot is the will of God. When we do the commandments, at that moment, we become an expression of God's will. When people say, I need to know God's will for my life, I can tell you what it is right now. Do what he said. This isn't. I mean, I don't want to do those commandments. Well, that's how you connect to God. You know, it's like, how do I connect with my parents? You know, the parents say, hey, would you go, you know, take out the trash for me? Oh, I don't want to do that. I see a disconnection coming. We can compare this to the way the will of a person is expressed through his or her own hand, which writes or plays the piano or bakes the cake. Through doing the commandments, we're joined to God, so to speak, as the hand is joined to the inner will and desire of a person. We bring his will into the world. Okay? As he says to do something, we begin to do it. It's like we've now joined with the Creator, and now we're fulfilling his will. And the Our Father's, I will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but I don't want to do your will because I don't want to be under the law. Well, now, wait a minute. If you're saying his will be done, what is his will? His will is doing what he's asked us to do. In, I think it's Matthew 11:27-29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Okay? And you'll find rest for your souls. That's quoting Jeremiah. And that yoke refers to his commandments. This too is also generally expressed in practical terms, such as doing something to help someone. At that moment, through the action of that mitzvah, the person and God are now joined together. So, through cleaving to God by means of the Torah, prayer, and doing the commandments, every aspect of our being is being transformed and we really become alive. I think it's fascinating in Romans chapter 1 and or chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That word transformed is where we get the word metamorphosis from, like a butterfly. That goes from a caterpillar into a butterfly. It's a completely new creature, a new creation. So do you realize as we begin to offer up ourselves unto God and we do what he says, we literally become this new creation, this butterfly. One thing that's not on the notes I just want to bring up because I think it's so important. Many of you are familiar with Romans 12 where it says, rejoice with those that do rejoice and weep with those that weep. Do you realize Romans chapter 12 follows Romans 11? And Romans 11 is all about the nation of Israel. And do you know, in Deuteronomy, it talks about the nations are commanded to rejoice with his people. And Paul quotes that in the Brit Hadashah. The nations are to rejoice with his people. Which is why in Zechariah 14, God says all nations have to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and rejoice with his people or they get the plague and no rain. And then it says rejoice with those that do rejoice in Romans 12. That's referring to we need to rejoice when Israel rejoices. And on the Feast of Sukkot, they're commanded to rejoice. And so the nations are commanded to rejoice and join with them. But then it says, weep with those that weep, also in Romans 12. That's also referring to Israel in Romans 11, which is the chapter right before. Which is why, during the dire straits, we weep with Israel. On the fast days, the 17th of Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, okay? Tevet 10, all these different dates when Gedaliah died. Do you realize when you rejoice with those that do rejoice, you weep with them, that when they're weeping, you're making this connection? And the church has become so prejudiced over the last 2,000 years, they tried to disconnect themselves with Israel every way they could, and they don't understand why there's no connection. We need to be listening to God's word and connecting where we can connect. Rejoice with them when they're rejoicing and weep with them when they're weeping. Now, in Deuteronomy 4, verse 5 and 8, this is part of our Torah portion, which is just incredible. It says, behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do in the land that you're going to possess. Keep therefore and do them. For this is what? It's your wisdom. It's your understanding in the sight of the nations, which are going to hear of all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Wow, think about that. God wanted Israel to keep the Torah so the nations would come and see this great light and say, wow, these people are wise and understanding. They have wisdom and understanding. And so the nations were to emulate Israel in their wisdom and understanding based on their statutes. That's important to catch that. And it says, for what nation is there so great who has a God so near to them as the Lord our God and all the things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all of this Torah, which I set before you this day? Now look at this. It says the Torah is so righteous that has all these great statutes and judgments. Why in the world as a people would we want to do away with them? I mean, can you see how silly that is for Christians to think the Torah is done away with when it has statutes that are so fantastic and right and justice and full of judgment and wisdom? Now look at this. This is incredible. This is one of the most, I think, important verses today. It's Deuteronomy 4, 30 and 31. It says, now when you're in tribulation and all these things have come upon you, even in the latter days. So when is this speaking to? This generation. Look what it says. If you turn to the Lord your God and you'll be obedient to his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore unto them. I think it's interesting that it says when you're in tribulation and you're in these latter days, he's telling them not to forget the covenant of the fathers, which he swore unto them. And what covenant is that? It's the Torah. Now, at this moment, today, what I want everyone to do, this is what's done traditionally in the synagogues. This is the second time that the 10 words or 10 commandments are read in within the Torah. And typically, everyone stands. So let's have everyone stand. This isn't going to be on the screen, but I'm going to read. This is Deuteronomy 5, 4 through 21. I want each one of us to realize that as we are standing here today, we're entering into that covenant. I want you to put yourselves back in that day when this happened. And here's what the Lord said in Deuteronomy 5, 4 through 21. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount, out of the midst of the fire. Moses says, I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying, listen to what the Lord says. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. and that you shall not do any work, you nor your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your ox, your ass, nor any of your cattle, nor the stranger that's within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commands you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not kill, neither shall you commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not desire your neighbor's wife, nor covet your neighbor's house, his field, or his man, or his maidservant, his ox, his ass, or anything that is your neighbor's. And everyone says, amen. You can be seated. I think it's amazing in Deuteronomy 5:29 of this Torah portion. Listen to what God's heart, listen to God's heartbeat. He says, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Revelation 14:12, it says, here is the patience of the holy ones, those who do what? Keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. Now, I want to show you, this brings us to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6. This is the Shema, where it says, hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day will be upon your heart. Let's take a look at this. Here it is in Hebrew. A couple of things that I want to point out to you. Let's begin here with, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, I want you to notice the ayin here and the dalet here is made real big. In the mezuzah scrolls, you also will see the ayin, which is right here. Let me use my finger here, which is right here. And the dalet, it's made real big. Why is that? Well, the amazing thing is if you take the ayin and the dalet and put it together, those two letters, it basically means to bear witness. It also means forever. And I think it's fascinating is in Hebrew, the ayin is the eye and the dalet is a door, and it's those who see the door. But I think it's fascinating when Yeshua says, I am the door. But I want you to take a look at this. This word, this phrase that is here, some people say, remember not one jot or tittle should pass from the law? Well, what's fascinating is if you take that ayin, the ayin in Hebrew is silent. The aleph is also silent. So what if someone says, well, let's just change it to an aleph? It doesn't make any difference because they're both silent. But you know what the problem with that is? That becomes now perhaps. So now we have, well, perhaps, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Does that make sense? You can see why not one jot or tittle or letter is to be changed. Well, look at the word dalet. If it becomes a resh, you see the dalet? And look what happens, it becomes a resh. You know what? Well, it's just a corner. What difference is it rounding a corner? Shouldn't make any difference. Well, that becomes another. So now you have perhaps, O Israel, the Lord your God is another God. This is why I wanted to bring out the fact that we are not to add, we're not to subtract, we're not to change or put our own wisdom in what God had to begin with. I think it's best if we just leave His word alone and obey it. Is there anyone who feels like they're qualified to be God's editor? So why would we think we could throw away whole sections of the Torah if we can improve on what He said? I'm going to try to wrap it up here. I think that shows that even the littlest things can make great impact. In Jeremiah 31, it talks about the new covenant. And it says, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I'm going to make a new covenant. And who's this new covenant with? It's with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. He says, it's not going to be according to the covenant I made with their fathers and the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. Even though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. He says, this is the covenant that I will make. And notice again, who's this new covenant with? It's with the house of Israel. And we're grafted into that house. He didn't make a separate covenant. He says, after those days, says the Lord, I'm going to put what? The Torah. Do you not realize for Christians to say God's done away with the Torah is crazy, especially to say believe in the new covenant, because the new covenant is putting the Torah in your heart. It's what it says. I'm going to write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they'll be my people. Now look at verse 7 through 9 of Deuteronomy 6. He says, you're to teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, lie down when you rise. Bind them as a sign upon your hand. They'll be for symbols between your eyes. And then it says you're to write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Who knows what the Hebrew word for doorpost is? Mezuzah! Okay. Well, what's interesting, the Shema, which is God's word, is what is written inside the mezuzah. Now, how many of you, and then it's put upon the house, right? Well, Jerusalem and the temple are the house of God. It's the gateway to heaven. And Yeshua is the door. So as the mezuzah contains the word of God, and Yeshua represents the word of God, nailed to the post. Let's look at this here. Okay? So, Yeshua was the mezuzah that was nailed to the doorpost of God's house. The word of God contained in the mezuzah. I think it's interesting, traditionally, when you go past your mezuzah, you put your hand, put it on the mezuzah. I think it's interesting, in Psalms 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, kiss the sun, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Wow, who is the sun? When it says to kiss the sun in Psalms 2, Tehillim. Psalms 118, 19 through 21, it says, open to me the gates of righteousness. I'll go into them and I will praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you for you have heard me and you have become my Yeshua. Salvation. Deuteronomy 7 through 9, it says, know therefore that the Lord your God, he's God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. If a generation is 40 years, that means God loves them and has mercy on them that keep his commandments for 40,000 years. It's only been 6 since Adam. So why would we think his word is done away with? If you want mercy, you don't do away with the commandments. You only get mercy if you acknowledge the commandments. Do you think a judge would show a convicted murderer mercy if they think that murdering people is done away with? I mean, it's just absurd. Genuine love leads us to fulfilling the commandments. Service from fear of punishment or hope of reward is really not genuine. Obedience without love is no basis for a relationship either. I have two more verses for you here. In Acts 6, 7, and 8, which is part of our Brit Hadashah portion today, it talks about how the word of God increased, the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And look at this. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And guess what? They continued the sacrificial system. They didn't quit being a priest. They now understood the concepts of what they were doing. It had greater meaning. Look at Acts 6, 11 through 14. Well, it talked about, in Acts 7 and 8, it talked about how Stephen was full of faith and power and he did great wonders and miracles among them. And then in verse 11 through 14, people were upset at Stephen and they secretly induced men to say, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes. And they came against him and they seized him and brought him to the council and set up, what does it say? What kind of witnesses? False or true? And what did the false witnesses say? This man never stopped speaking blasphemous words against this holy place and the Torah. We have heard him say that this Yeshua of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs which Moses delivered to us. Guess what? He never said Yeshua was going to change the customs that Moses... That's a false accusation, so why would we believe it? They're saying that he speaks blasphemous words against the holy place and the Torah. Stephen never did that either. These were all false accusations. These were not true accusations. So as the musicians come on up, I want to just close with the thought that now is the time more than ever to follow God's word, to cleave to his word, to be praying and speaking to Him and developing this relationship with Him. Amen? Amen. So let's stand. And those that are here for the very first time or back again visiting after a long time, through these doors to the far right is a glass pavilion. I want to meet with all of you there, visit with you, and answer any questions that you may have, and just thank you for visiting with us. And the Zachans or the ministry prayer team, feel free to come forward. And if you have any prayer requests, we want you to know that we're here for you. We're here for you. And that's so important. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you again so much for your word, for your Torah. We know that it's good for 40,000 years. And so, Father, we know we're definitely within that short time frame. And because your word abides forever. So, Father, I just pray that you would plant that in each one of our hearts, that we would love you and show that we love you by keeping your commandments. Father, touch your people. May your Holy Spirit touch hearts and draw many people unto you. In Yeshua's name, amen. 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 We're going to continue to pray. I'm going to close with the priestly blessing. Those of you that want prayer, stay up here. We're going to continue to pray. Those of you that want to exit when we're done, feel free to exit and fellowship out in the lobby area. So this can be more of a prayer time for people. And we're going to continue to pray and to praise. But God told Moses to tell Aaron, here's how I want you to bless my people. I want you to say this prayer over them. And in so doing, not only will I bless them, but I'm going to put my name upon them. And this is what he told him to say. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chuneka. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you go be blessed and bless one another. Amen. Thank you for studying with us today. If you have any questions regarding the material discussed, please contact me at my email address. It's pastormark@elshaddaiministries.us. Be blessed and shalom.